All right, let's please take a seat. Please take your seats. It's time to get started. So if your name is Manuel Garcia and you're still talking, you need to stop it and sit down. So good morning. My name is George Bjarke. I'm not the usual pastor here, but I have been honored to give the message today. And I've been able to do it a few times before you. It's something that I take pretty seriously, and I want to, I don't want to do a disservice to God, but I know the last time that I spoke, which was a few weeks ago, after I spoke, one of the little boys in the congregation, I won't say which one it was, came up to me and he handed me a $5 bill. And I said, what's this for? He says, oh, you need this. I said, well, why do I need this? He said, well, my dad said you're the poorest preacher he's ever heard. So, and today's message is a little longer than I normally like to do. Because there are a lot of things that I wanted to talk about, and I'm aware that there's a very fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation. So if you do feel the need to call in the SWAT team or something, I will not be offended. But today I want to talk about mission. I've entitled this "Mission Possible: Living Your Life on Purpose." Let's go to the next slide. So today I want to talk about kind of our God-given mission through the Great Commission, and I want to kind of take that apart a little bit and talk a little bit about the Great Commission, some of the things that I see in there. I want to talk about some practical examples of living out the Great Commission and some opportunities, and I want to talk specifically about Katra Kids. I'll spend a lot of time towards the end of my message on that, and that's something that I'm invested in and interested in, and I would love for you to be interested in it as well. And then maybe a little bit at the end of the application. So let's go to the next slide. Jesus gives us the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And in 18, he talks about all the authority has been given to him, that God gave him all the authority. And here in 19 and 20, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let me read that again. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And there's some key words up there. You know, he's talking about going. He's to all nations, making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them, understanding what he commanded, and that he's with us. So let's go to the next slide. And what do you think or feel when you read or hear this? Like, these are some things that kind of came to my mind. He's talking about all nations. Should I go to another country? Or it sounds like evangelism. Do I have to kind of evangelism? Am I like a salesman, something like that? Do I even know how to make disciples? What's that all about? And isn't that what we pay the pastor for, to do all that stuff, right? You know, sometimes I think, I haven't really been doing this, so I kind of feel guilty. Or, sorry, Jesus, I'm busy with my life. I don't have time to do all this kind of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things that kind of maybe goes through your mind as you think about this. But I want to kind of look at a few parts of that. And so let's go to the next slide. It says, "The Great Commission is more than evangelism," although evangelism is certainly part of it, but it's more than that. The main command in this, in all of that, was about making disciples. He's saying, go into the nations and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. But it's all about discipleship. That's the main thing. And so when we look at that, the discipleship aspect of it means we focus on other people. Our focus is on others and helping them to live their lives in the kingdom of God. And so it's not a transactional thing. I'm supposed to check one off, got that one, got that one, got that one. It's not that at all, right? It's a relational thing. It's building relationships with people to help people live their lives within the kingdom. Let's go to the next slide. Go doesn't necessarily mean go to another country. And certainly that could be part of it. But the Greek word here for go is to proceed with intention. It means you intend to do something, you're going to do that. And going to another country fits within the Great Commission, but go involves making deliberate choices. And when it talks about all nations, that includes our nation too. In fact, it includes our community. So you want to think intentionally about your work or your school or the marketplace or your home or where you're playing golf or whatever you're doing, anywhere you go, if you're going intentionally, then that's what it's talking about here. Now let's talk about teaching. That's the next slide. So teaching isn't just transferring information. How many people are teachers or former teachers in here? Right? Ton of you. I don't have to tell you some of these things, but it's not just transferring information. Many of you have been teachers know you don't just spout out the facts and they all get it, right? That never worked. It's a lot more than that. It has to do with how you deliver, the actions that you take, being able to listen, and getting someone interested so that they're willing to listen too. So willing hearts. I was a math teacher, and if I just said A squared plus B squared equals C squared, I knew that Hannah would get it right off the bat. Oh, she thumbs down over there. Okay, so apparently that wasn't it. But teaching is, it's about mentoring, and it's about guidance. I can remember a time when we first moved here. We had a teenage son, and he didn't want to move. He didn't want to come here. He struggled with all kinds of things, and we were concerned, and we were worried, and we met with Pastor Bailey Hager, who was our pastor at that time, and Bailey gave us some great counsel, and Bailey, he was like a mentor to us, or he was discipling us in doing that. So when you give somebody good advice, godly advice, you're discipling that. That's a discipling kind of thing, and he did that, and he taught us about some things about our relationship with our son. So if we go to the next slide, it talks about observe what I have, teaching them to observe what I've commanded you. So you're teaching them to observe what I've commanded you, and that, you can't take that out of context, right? So it's not talking, Jesus is talking about the specific things that he said, but all of the specific things that Jesus said, a lot of them referred back to the Old Testament. So we've got this Bible that's going to help us with that kind of stuff. We can't take the Great Commission out of context of the Bible, of any part of the Bible. And Jesus was a teacher. He taught. He's kind of a master class in teaching. Just read through some things like this. We're in our men's Bible study. We're reading the Sermon on the Mount, and the teaching is amazing. And I would love to have been there listening to him. But the greatest commandment he gave was love God, and the second is like it, love your neighbor, right? And so he's teaching them to obey to observe everything that I've commanded you. He's including loving God and loving your neighbor, right? If you can do some of those kind of things and teach the people around you the same way, to influence people the same way, that's the same thing. And so So this means if you're going to teach others to observe what I've commanded, you're living out and communicating these great commandments. There are some everyday ways of fulfilling the Great Commission. One way is to do good deeds. In Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So doing good deeds. Now, I'm not talking about just random acts of kindness, although that's fine. But doing something good for somebody else, people are going to see that and they're going to glorify God because that's what you want. Unity in the church in John 17:21, he says that they all may be one just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So we're all one, so that the world can see and believe. We're unified, so that the world can see and believe. Parenting, that's a great discipleship opportunity. Sometimes it drives you to want to end it all. But Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 7, it says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Right? Parenting is more than just planting the seed and walking away. You know, the parenting is it may be the most challenging job any of us ever have. Being a friend is another opportunity to do the Great Commission. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." When you're a good friend to somebody, you're living out the Great Commission. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. Giving, Philippians 4, 15 to 16. "And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again." That was Paul talking to the church in Philippi. And so when you give, you're living out the Great Commission. Praying may be one of the most important things that we can do. That kind of, we use it as a last resort sometimes, but one of the most important things we can do is pray. In Matthew 9:35-38, it says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" He didn't just send them out. He said, pray. He said, pray. And that's one of the most important things that we can do to live out the Great Commission. So the Great Commission is very attainable for us. If we look at some of these kind of things, these are things we can do that are very attainable for us to live out the Great Commission. So now I want to talk about commission. And commission is a call to commit. It means we must invest. You know, we're going to commit to something, we're going to invest in something. The word co, I'm kind of taking some liberties with the structure of the word here, but the word co to me implies togetherness. Remember it said, "Jesus, I'll be with you always to the very end of the age." So Jesus is with us. He's with us. And we do this together in community. And so when we do our co-mission, you know, something that we do, and we do it together, and we know that Jesus is with us when we do this. So let's talk about then mission. Because a mission isn't just like a historic old building that you have to do a report on when you're in fourth grade, right? A mission is an important assigned or self-imposed task, duty, or purpose, often involving a strong sense of calling. Simply, a mission is when you set out to do something. Now, when I was young, I was on a mission this one time that I remember very clearly. I grew up in New Mexico. There were six of us kids. My sister Judy was the oldest, and then there was me. My brother Dick was a year and a half younger than me. My brother Carl was a little bit younger, and Gary and Don. You know, there were all these boys. But this was Gary and Don weren't around during this particular incident I'm thinking of, where my brother Dick, the one who's just younger than me, he wasn't doing well in school at all. We found out later he has dyslexia, so he had problems. But he was not doing well in school. He would rather draw pictures than actually write the answers to things on his homework. So when he was in the first grade, and he was not doing well, and Mom and Dad were concerned. And so Judy and Dick and I, and we had Carl in the stroller, we decided we were going to be on a mission to fix this situation. So we went up to the school. In those days, you could just kind of walk on the school campus. You know, you could play in the swings and do the things you wanted to do. The classroom that Dick was in had a door that didn't quite lock right, and we knew this. And so we went into the classroom, and we left Carl in the stroller, you know, by the door, just, you know, like the lookout, kind of. And so we went into the classroom, and we went into the teacher's desk, and we found the report cards. We pulled out my brother's report card, and it's very easy to change an F so that it looks like an A, right? You just make a little line down that. And my brother went from failing to straight A's, just like that. And we tipped over a couple desks and did a couple other silly things in the classroom, and then we left. Not caught, no problem, safeguarded. I think, however, we left his report card open on the teacher's desk. That must be what happened, because when the police showed up at the house, and they called my brother out, what's going on? Of course, he couldn't keep a secret, right? He blurted out, and we were all in trouble, especially my sister and I, because we were the older ones. We should have known better. One of a few times when the police came to our house when we were kids, but I guess my point was we were on a mission. It was the wrong mission. Went about the wrong way, but it was a mission. We had something that we were going to do. And so that was, there are missions and there are missions, you know. Don't do that one. But a mission is something that has a purpose. It's driven by a need or a cause. And you may have you may have a lot of specific missions, things you do throughout your life, or you may have an overarching mission to be a missionary in Honduras or in Africa or someplace, or a mission to be a pastor of a church. You know, there are a lot of missions, a lot of ways you can experience missions. The Church of God of Exeter has a mission statement. Our mission is to know Christ and make him known. The vision is to be the forerunner of the transformation in our city through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time. And our values that you see up on the walls with Jesus in community on mission. Now, you've heard that before. Pastor Brandon mentions it all the time. But we have a mission. And this mission fits well within Christ's mission for the church that we see in the Great Commission. But I want to talk first, because it talks a little bit about the gospel, through the gospel of Jesus. And I'll talk about the gospel and make sure that we know what we're talking about with the gospel. The gospel means good news. And a lot of times, people say, okay, that means I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and that's the good news. And that is good news, because you are saved from the wrath of a holy God, and you will experience eternal life, but you're saved for something as well, and you're saved to be transformed. If your life is not being transformed since you met Jesus, then you need to start looking at that and thinking about that. But we're being transformed, and we have power over evil. So our mission includes this gospel that we're saved and we're being transformed. That's really important. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So it's important to develop a missional mindset. A missional mindset. In a missional mindset, you kind of surrender to God's purpose. You have intentional relationships. By intentional relationships, I don't mean you treat people like projects, because people are not projects. People are people. But you say, I want to get to know that person. I want to live life with that person. And you're not trying to get that person in the water. Check. You know, that's not what it's about. It's about developing relationships with people. You need to be aware. You need to respect. You need to be generous with your time and your resources. I'm really guilty of having everything in the world to do and no time for anything. And we need to be able to be interruptible. That's something that I struggle with all the time. And consistent in prayer and intercession. If you don't have like a list that you keep of the things you're praying about, I would recommend that you do that. That's a good way, especially like the big prayers. People say, oh, somebody has cancer or some of those kind of things. And you say, I'll pray about that. Make a list. Keep praying about it. Actually do it, right? So that's part of missional mindset. And if we go to the next one, there's a great scripture that kind of encompasses what a missional mindset is Romans 12:1. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's basically a missional mindset right there. I also like this other version from the Message. It's my wife's favorite version of this as well. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Write a good practical paraphrase of that verse. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. We have a celebration coming up in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, yeah, 2 weeks. It's called Lest We Forget, May 16th and 17th. Patricia asked me to work on developing a history of the church. And so I've been digging through all kinds of old stuff, old pictures. We used to have in the church directories, they had some histories of the church. I've been pulling those things together. I've been looking things up, searching through newspaper articles, all kinds of stuff. And I find some really interesting things. And in fact, I want to read you a little bit of what I've got. Oh, well, so much for that. As we're going through this, that I anticipate this will be in a booklet that you can have. It says, the journey began in 1897, not with a grand cathedral, but with a simple horse-drawn spring wagon and a small group of gospel workers. They came to the small community of Exeter, pitched their camp in the north of town, and began preaching in an old restaurant on Pine Street. The fiery preacher leading the meeting was Eli Sensney, a Church of God pastor. While those initial meetings were well attended, the workers eventually moved on, leaving behind only the small mustard seed for a future congregation. The true awakening came in 1911, when Brother John Crows and Sister Mamie Biskoner arrived to hold a tent meeting on the corner of Palm and E Streets. So you think Palm and E Street, that's about where the Monarch Ford used car thing is, right? Somewhere over there. It was here that lives were transformed, including that of Herb Powell, who described the experience as a grand meeting where many found their way to God. Herb himself was so moved by the experience that he became a faithful follower of the way, and he committed to the new church, eventually becoming Sunday school superintendent, a position he held for 28 years, and on and on and on. I have probably 14 or 15 pages here, and there will be a few more. There's some interesting pictures of some interesting stuff. Come celebrate with us on that weekend. That's going to be really fun, and we'll get to kind of peer into some of this and think about this. But what I wanted to say about that, before I dropped everything on the floor, is that these people who founded this church, who the tent revival, the early fathers of the church, they had kind of a vision and a mission from God. They were living out the Great Commission. And those people made it possible for us to be here today. Everything that we're here today is built on the steps and the things that happened and all of the things that went before. So Lest We Forget is a fitting, title for that weekend. The other thing it made me think about is, what's the future going to say about us? You know, what will be, you know, when they meet again in 25 years or whatever, you know, what are they going to say about us? So think about that and come that weekend. It's going to be fun. If you haven't signed up for something, sign up for something. It's going to be great. So living missionally, we move on then, means we need to pray. We need to look around and be aware of what's going on. We need to engage in our community. We need to support missional efforts, local, regional, national, global. Share your faith. Sharing your faith just means, you know, we're called to be witnesses. That just means, well, this is how it worked for me. That's easy. Teach and disciple people. But if you share your life with others, think about what they need, not what you need, because it's about sharing the gospel with other people. We have some missional opportunities in our own family of families, as Brandon calls it. Let's look at the next slide, please. Foreign missions. We have a few foreign missions that we support. One is in Honduras. Pastor Freddy's been here lots of times. A lot of you know Pastor Freddy. He has an organization called IBED International, and the church he goes to is the Ministerio Manantial de Vida. And then he also has something called Contra Kids, which is something I'm going to be talking about in a little bit. But there's a youth trip this summer that they're going out there. There are a couple of other trips going on in July that you could be part of. If you're interested in that, let me know. And there always are going to be other opportunities for that. Another foreign mission that we support is the Kim family. And I want to read a little bit from what their thing is, because I think we don't really talk about them very much, but they're pretty neat people. They are, their mission is Europe and the Middle East. Their home base, I think, has been in Hungary. Dan and Christy Kim are focused on training and supporting emerging leaders and serving in the ministry alongside Church of God congregations in Hungary, the Netherlands, Italy, and throughout Europe and the Middle East. They also facilitate disaster relief work in Ukraine with Ukrainian refugees in partnership with the Church of God in Hungary and in Germany. Christy, along with the global missionary Audrey Langford, also worked closely with the Three Worlds Leadership Network leadership team, helping them planning logistics. They're pretty neat people. And so it'd be good to get to know a little bit more about that. But these are some foreign missions. We also do Operation Christmas Child, which goes all over the world, as you know about. And there are other kind of foreign mission things. Let's go to the next slide. We have opportunities for mission right here, some local outreach kind of things. We have this great bread ministry that we've started where we have the bread and we give it away and people come here. I think it's on Friday nights, and they pick up bread. You know, our community loves it because free bread. Yard work. In fact, there's a picture of a couple of us doing some yard work over there. There was a place over on G Street where they really had an overgrown lawn. We're going to go. We've got to finish. We've got more to do. So we're going to go back there probably on the 11th of May. So if you're interested in that, let me know. I'd love to have you in on that. But then there are other kind of things. There are prayer walks, like the one coming up. There is our harvest festival we have every year in the fall. We have art camp in the summertime, and there are other local kind of outreach opportunities. I'll go to the next slide. Then there are opportunities for mission right here in our church, and these are different kind of service kind of things. Children, youth, adult, hospitality. I mean, there's a lot of things you could be involved in right here. And then the next slide will say, it doesn't have to be at or through church, right? Your job might be the mission, or your family might be the mission. Your golf buddies might be the mission. Wherever you find yourself is going to be the mission. I love this sticker that we developed a few years ago. It says, I represent the kingdom where I'm planted. I don't know if we still have any of these stickers around or not, but probably not. But they're pretty cool. I remember going to Honduras one time and seeing that sticker plastered up on the door frame of one of the houses. So obviously, we had been there. So pretty cool. Now I want to talk a little bit. Let's go to the next slide. I want to talk a little bit about Contra Kids. And I have this table up here. And the table consists of, I've got these picture cards, has kids on them. And there's also a notebook that has pictures and letters from kids or from the parents of kids, if the kids couldn't write a letter, just about the support they need. Now, some of you are familiar with Compassion International or World Relief or Children of Promise, some of these bigger programs that are well-established programs. They're all over the world. Contra Kids is kind of like that and kind of not like that. And so I want to talk specifically about Contra Kids. And this is it came through the vision from Pastor Freddie Martinez, who we support, and all of the things that he has going on. So let's look at the next slide. Contra Kids is a vision from God with a comprehensive approach to child growth and development. It arises from the problems and needs of the children of Honduras. It focuses on remote villages and communities. This is one of the things that's really different from the other bigger, more established programs, is he's going to remote villages and communities. These are places where there's probably not enough people there to support a bigger program like one of those others. And so this is a good kind of thing. It's managed and administered by EBED International Ministry. Now, right now, the only locations for the Contra Kids program are in the village where Freddie lives, La Concepcion, and then another village called Caliche. And so there's only two now, and they want to keep it that way until they can start getting more support and more sponsorships from the kids. It's funded really through the sponsorships. And so I think the other programs that I mentioned are great programs. We've sponsored kids through Compassion International and through Children of Promise. You can sponsor kids through World Vision. Those are great programs. But the thing that I love about this program is it gets to some places where those programs probably don't go. And so I love this. And although this is still kind of developing and it's just, you know, in its infancy, it's a great program. So let's go to the next slide then. The problem is remote Honduran villages and communities have very little access to resources and programs. Poor families struggle to make ends meet and to raise families. There are programs in Honduras, but they usually focused in bigger cities and towns. Now, the churches are a vital part of the remote communities, but they need the help. Because in these little villages, there's usually a church, and that's kind of the center of the village. But they really need help because they're very poor. And so doing something for these kids is very important. So let's go to the next slide. So the vision for Contra Kids is to raise generations with an identity in Christ who love God and His creation. And their values are partnership, transparency, and advocacy. So then the mission, the next slide would be the mission, hopefully, to be partners in transformation of our generations, to accompany parents and their children in understanding and living the true concept of family and its purpose. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So EBED International Ministry will identify and partner with a local church in each community. So they're going to go into the community, they partner with that church there, and then if they don't have a partner with the church, then they're not going to be able to go in. But they want to work with and through the churches to strengthen the churches and to work with God's Great Commission plan. Okay, and they have a formal ministerial partnership that they sign with the churches. Okay, go ahead. So the program is like this. It's an after-school program operated at the partner's facility. So it's going to be operated at the church. It's specifically designed for children from the most vulnerable communities. And the sponsorship is for children ages 5 through 18. They serve the kids 2 days a week. They come after school 2 days a week to the program. And the sponsorship is $50 per month per child. Okay, let's go to the next one. So they're looking at helping kids in all of the different areas of their life. And there are four primary areas that they want to work in. And I'll talk about each of those individually. Let's go to the next slide. The spiritual area, they want to focus on relationship with God, that the kids may know and love the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives. They'll receive training in biblical values. The church's pastoral team will participate in their spiritual development, and the kids are actually going to make, every 2 months, they'll participate in a children's worship service. So the kids are growing in Christ, okay? Next area is the intellectual area. They're working closely with the schools in these communities, and the schools in these little communities are very poor and not very well supported by the government, and so having the church come alongside them is going to be really helpful for them. And they're very open and welcoming for the church's involvement in the schools, unlike in the United States, where they're not always welcoming of the church's involvement in the schools. But they are there. And so they work with the teachers so they understand what's going on there. Students have tutoring, work on homework. that kind of, in all of those different areas, math, reading, writing areas. So, Hannah, if you need to brush up your math skills, you can go over there and do that. And once a year, they participate in an educational type of field trip, maybe museums or some of those kind of things, educational. And they also want to promote a career fair to show how education can kind of lead them to careers. So the next slide, we'll talk about the socio-emotional area. Once a year, they're also going to participate in a recreational type of a trip. It may be the beach or it may be something else. They'll celebrate the kids' birthdays, Christmas gifts. Our church actually participated. Last year, we gave a lot of money for them to have the kids, have Christmas presents. And so we did that through our Christmas offering. And they have Children's Day celebrations. They partner with local professionals who can help the kids make sure that they're doing okay when necessary. Then the last area would be the physical area. They get nutrition. Every time they come to the program, they'll get a nutritious lunch. They reinforce personal hygiene habits. And then also, they partner with local professionals, medical professionals, to help kids with their general medical care. They're going to have, they're talking about soon there's going to be, they're going to come in with some dentists and fix their teeth and that kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool. So let's go to the next slide. The selection criteria for the program are these. First of all, they have to have limited financial means. And they have to be between 5 and 10 years old to start the program. They have to live in the community, not a beneficiary of another program. If they're going to another program, that's great. They're going to get help there. But if they're not, then they can be part of this. And the children are selected regardless of their religious affiliation, whether they're whatever they are. They're eligible, okay? So record keeping, the parent, the guardian has to sign an authorization form. So the parents have some skin in the game too. They've got to commit to attending parent school. They keep a record about the kids, their personal and health information, and kind of a socioeconomic record of the kid's family. They keep that too. So there's some record keeping involved in that as well. So if we look then, the next slide, we'll talk about what the sponsor receives. So when you sponsor one of these kids, if you say, "Oh, I want to sponsor Liam Eduardo right here," right? Then you'll pay $50. But what you'll get, you're going to get a thank you letter. Actually, we got a there's a little picture here on the right. That little girl there, that's Catherine Elizabeth. That's the one that we're sponsoring, and she's holding up a little sign that says, "Thank you, George and Rose Biarchi." And there's a little video of her speaking that, which I didn't understand anything she said, but she was thanking us. And so I know that some of you who've sponsored them, you've seen those little videos, and it's pretty cute. So you get a thank you letter from the child, a photograph of the child, a Christmas letter from the child, and the freedom to visit the sponsored child after communicating and coordinating with EBED Ministry. So if you've got a trip, you're going to go down there, you can actually go see these kids, because they're right there. Our youth group are going down in July. They're going to see some of these kids, and some of us who are sponsoring, we can send a gift with them, or we can send a message to them somehow. But it's pretty neat. And then you also get an annual administrative activity report that just kind of talks about how what we're doing for your child. It's pretty neat. Let's go to the next slide. So then they have program staff. They have a program coordinator. He's kind of the person who's at that church who's responsible for this. There's two teachers responsible for teaching the kids their lessons, and then a kitchen manager who's making sure they get the lunches and those kind of things, plus whatever outside help coming in to help, they'll do that. So that's Katra Kids in a nutshell. There are probably, there's a bunch of kids who have not been supported. They don't have support yet, and they need support because this is really a great program. Now, one of the things that my wife mentions to me is every time I see something with kids in it, I always sponsor one because we have two or three sponsored kids going in some program at some time everywhere. But these kids are pretty great. I know some of you are, you're invested in it. Thank you very much. But if you want to, come afterwards and I will help you pick one out and make sure you got that. Don't just grab a card without telling me, because I want to know who's sponsored. I have to kind of keep track of that and get back to them so we know that. And it gives the details how to do the sponsorship. It's pretty neat. So that's Katra Kids, and that is a specific mission. Let's go to the next slide. This is one example of mission. It's Pastor Freddie's mission, right? He felt God's calling to do something. He left. He was working for Heart to Honduras. He left there because he felt like he really needed to do more support for the churches. And one of the things he saw was these kids in these remote villages really need support. So he prayed about it. He looked around. He saw the need. He engaged with the community. He's very close with these communities. Partnering with the churches that's the right thing to do. So he engaged in that, and he took action to meet the need. And so here we are. We've got Katra Kids, and he's calling us to come alongside them. So let's go to the next slide. So thinking about mission. I know I've gone on and on. But think about, when you think about this, think about what does a Great Commission mean to you? You know, what is it something that strikes you about that? What is your mission? Do you have a mission? Is God giving you something to do that he wanting you to do? You feel like God's prompting you to do something, right? Who's supporting your mission? Because you don't do a mission by yourself. You have to have support. Not only is Jesus with you, but you have people helping you too. And don't hold back. If God's saying, hey, this is the thing, do that, don't hold back. And so that's what I wanted to say to you today. Thank you very much for your patience. I'm looking for that kid to give me the $5 bill again. But thank you. And please close out in prayer with me, and then we'll have the worship team come up. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your commission to us. Thank you that we have something that you want us to do. Thank you that you saved us and that you are transforming us, Lord. And I pray, Father, that that you'll be glorified in the work in this church, in the things that we do, in our birthday celebration in a couple of weeks, and in the missions that we involve ourselves in, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.